who took that video during the week, thanks very much, because that is me to an absolute T. Anyone want to work at the church, come and join that. It's a bit of a parody, but it's kind of a little bit of reality too in life. I think coming into the scenes of a pastor at Easter time, we get caught up with exactly what that was. We can get caught up exactly with the glamour and the glitz and all of these things, and, you know, nearly like this birthday party, and we can actually forget about the reason of why we do things. And I probably don't put up one hand, but I put up two hands and say, yeah, that's me. Get caught up with what can we do at Easter. What can we do at Easter? Can we have guys like, you know, getting, I don't know, acrobats or something like this? Can we do all of these things? And I asked the team weeks and weeks and weeks ago, what can we do at Easter? Until someone said to me, do you know what? Jesus did something at Easter. He died on a cross and was raised a few days later. And isn't that enough? Isn't that the message? Isn't that the message that we want to hear? And I'm not having a go at the things, because we enjoy having celebration. We're visual learners and we're visual people, and we want to do these things. And I'm not having a go at this. But as I wrestled in bed with this over the last few nights, I just realized that Jesus is the reason. And if you're here on Friday, and I would have done it if we had really cheap microphones, but we have expensive ones. Innocent just dropped a message. We were packed in this room next door here, and Innocent just dropped a message. And that message was impacting. Thank you, Innocent. It was incredible. We are incredibly blessed in this church to have teachers, preachers, apostles, you know, servants. God has gifted this place. And today we get to come and we get to celebrate the reason. The reason why we are here. Today we come and we get to celebrate the reason of why I believe that God has put hundreds and hundreds of people here together. Because there is something greater is going to happen that goes past today. Something greater is going to happen, and why God has brought us from the Middle East, and you from the mainland, and you from northwest Tasmania, and you from the middle of Hobart. God has brought you right here for this season because He has something incredible, and it's to do with the reason. And the reason is, we remember that on Friday, Christ died upon a cross. And today we celebrate that He is risen. Luke 23, 44 to 46 says this. It was now about the sixth hour, about noontime, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, because the sun was obstructed and the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Just a few verses later, in Luke 24, 1 to 6, but very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He is not here. He is risen. He breathed his last back here on Friday. Today he is not here. He is risen from the dead. Amen. Thanks, Sam.
Please join with us in singing this song.
heaven's throne, you came to us. You set your heart upon the cross. We'll never know the sacrifice you made. For all our sin and all our shame, you took the nails, you took our place. No one else could do what you have done. One name is higher, one name is stronger than any grave, than any throne. Christ exalted over all. From the grave where death would die, you rose again, brought us to life. You're reigning now, the Savior of the world. You're reigning now, the Savior of the world. One name is higher, one name is stronger. Messiah, to you alone our praise belongs. Christ exalted over all. We'll sing your praise, we'll sing your praise, we'll sing your praise forever. We'll lift your name, we'll lift your name.
Exalted over all. His name is higher. Sort of feel like this morning we're going to spend some time at the end of the having a bit of a worship time and a bit of a celebration. Does that feel okay? I'm going to give the team a little bit of a rest now because I feel like that there's a time we're going to celebrate this morning. Sunday morning, Jesus is risen and we can celebrate that in song. Before we do, I want to just look at four sections of society, or what I could call four life stages of my journey. Four life stages of my journey. And it comes in between the time of when Jesus died on the cross and was risen again. The first one is stuck. The second one is courage. The third one is step out. And the fourth one has been intertwined all the way through there at various stages, whether it be for a day, an hour, a thought in my head, or even a season in my life. And that was the scoffers. First one, stuck. Luke 23, 35 to 49 says this. The crowd, everyone say the crowd. I've just done a week up at Presence and had Stephen Furtick. Does many people watch Stephen Furtick on podcasts? I'm not Stephen Furtick, so don't worry about that. But he has this knack of just asking people all the time. Turn to your neighbour and say, hi. Turn to your neighbour. It's incredible. But it kind of works. The crowd. Everyone say the crowd. A few of you said it, so it doesn't work with us. Everyone say the crowd. The crowd watched and the leaders scoffed. He saved others, they said. Let him save himself. If he is really God's Messiah, the chosen one. The crowd watched this. Verse 39, one of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it. Down to verse 44. Sorry, I'm going to skip through here. Down to verse 44. By this time, it was about noon. Sorry, Silas. I'm throwing him all over the place. Verse 44. By this time, it was about noon and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light was from the sun was gone and suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary was torn down the middle. Then Jesus shouted, Father, I entrusted my spirit into your hands. And with those words, he breathed his last. When the Roman officer overseeing the execution saw what had happened, he worshipped God and said, surely this man was innocent. And when all the crowd, say the crowd, when all the crowd that came to see the crucifixion, why do we go and see these things? Why do we do it? Why are we drawn in by things like this? And when all the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw what had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. When all the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw what had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. But Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching. First point is stuck. Does anyone remember, for those who, I don't know, it was 1989, I think, so you'd need to be 30-odd to actually remember this. You remember the image of the man in front of the tanks in Tiananmen Square? Everyone remember that image? There's a man, smaller Asian man, is standing there in front of, I don't know, it must be 8 to 10 tanks. Do we remember that image? Do you remember actually what it was? Do we remember what the event was? It was a student demonstration. Do you actually know that in that photo where they've taken a panoramic view of that photo, there was over 500,000 people standing there as well? 500,000 people were standing in the crowd, but the photo that is remembered is of the one man who was standing there, I think something like this, telling these tanks to stop. There was 500,000 students in that photo as well, protesting. But what we did is we focused on the one. You see, the crowd came to watch. And we do this when there's something or other that maybe we believe in, or maybe that we just think we want to believe in, or maybe we're just interested. We head along with the crowd and we stand there and watch while the one stands there. Now, I'm not saying that the one was doing the right thing. But there was many in the crowd. What would have happened, I wonder, I've thought to myself, if 500,000 people had stood there in front of the tanks? Imagine that photo. Not one person standing in front of a tank like this. But imagine if 500,000 people in the crowd had stood in front of the tank. Would it have been a different outcome? I don't know, because it didn't happen at that stage. What would have happened if the crowds had done something a little bit different? Let's go back a little bit longer. What about if the crowds hadn't have shouted out and said, free Barabbas and don't free Jesus? What would have happened if the crowds had have done something a little bit different at this time? How big were the crowds? We don't know. Could the crowds have overwhelmed the Roman guards? Could the crowds gone up there and tried to rescue Jesus from the cross? Or that wasn't what the prophecy said, though, was it? But for the crowds, we read in this word here that the crowds watched. The crowds watched. The crowds were stuck. They were stuck in this understanding of, is this meant to happen? What is happening here? And sometimes we see things happening before us and we don't know how to act. We're stuck. And in my life, there's been many times when I've been in this situation where I see something or other happening before me and I'm stuck to act. I don't know where to go. The crowd didn't have the Bible to read from. Paul Scanlon was another speaker up at Presence, and he used to talk about this. He says, we get to know the story. We get to read from front to back. The characters in the Bible were characters in the Bible. They didn't know a Bible. They weren't sitting there going, what's happening next? Quick, I'll have a look up and see what I'm supposed to do. Maybe I can change the course of history. They were there. But there's been times in my life where I feel like I've been stuck. Stuck not knowing where to go. Stuck not knowing what to do. Stuck just being part of the crowd. The second one is the other Joseph. We call him the other Joseph. When the Roman officers overseeing the execution saw what had happened, he worshipped God and said, surely this man was innocent. And when all the crowds that came to see the crucifixion saw what had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. We've just gone through this. But Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching. Now, there was a good and righteous man named Joseph. He was a member of the Jewish High Council, but he had not agreed with the decision and the actions of the other religious leaders. He was from the town of Arimathea in Judea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. He went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Then he took the body down from the cross and wrapped it in a long sheet of linen cloth and laid it in a new tomb that had been carved out of the rock. This was done late on the Friday, the day of preparation, as the Sabbath was about to begin. Have you ever considered what would happen if Pilate had said no? Has it ever entered your mind, or am I just the only one who thinks like this? Have you ever thought to yourself, what about if Joseph from Arimathea had came up to Pilate and said, can I have the body? And Pilate said no. Because you know, Roman tradition and Roman custom was actually that the body's rotted. That's what it was. Roman tradition was to see that the body's rotted in the sun. But what about if Pilate had said no? This man from Arimathea, Joseph from Arimathea, took a risk. In Mark's account of the death and resurrection of Christ, we read, Joseph from Arimathea took a risk, and he went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Joseph was an honored member of the highest council. He was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. I've spent much of my working career doing very risky things. In fact, in the world of paramedicine, we struggled developing a risk register. Because how do you calculate entering a person's home at 3 o'clock in the morning where there's been a stabbing or whether there's been a situation happening? How do you calculate their risk that's going to be involved with that? How do you calculate the risk factors of jumping out of a perfectly good helicopter at 150 feet and landing on a boat travelling at 6 nautical miles in order to provide pain relief for someone with a broken ankle? It doesn't make sense. So you've got to actually calculate the risks and work out what you do. And paramedicine has struggled with this. There was actually a forum on this in 2015, about 2 years ago, where they worked out, because risk registers and all of this stuff is huge, and you know, we've got dudes who do that for a full-time job here. But then as management and ambulance, we're saying to maybe two young girls or whoever it might be on a crew, 3 o'clock in the morning, if the job comes in the middle of nowhere and it sounds a bit suspicious and so forth, we've got these policies in place and you can stand back at a staging area, but effectively go and take a calculated risk. And that's what it is. The reason I like Joseph is that although it seems he was a bit of a secret follower, he was prepared to go to Pilate himself and ask for the body of the man who had just been lynch mobbed. Do you understand that? The crowd was standing back. Get this. The crowd stood back. There was others who mocked and scoffed at him. And Joseph from Arimathea, who was sitting on the council, he would have sat in the nice chairs and, you know, drunk from the nice goblets and all of this sort of thing. And he sat with the right people and hung with the right guys and had in his phone the right numbers to be able to call. He went to Pilate, the governor, and asked for the body of the man who had just been lynch mobbed. He asked for the body of the man who had just died due to public opinion. Because he was found not guilty. Do you remember that part? Do you understand this? He was found not guilty, but they hung him anyway. The public opinion, the mob, lynched him anyway. And then Joseph said, no, I'm going to prepare to stand up and I'm going to give this guy a proper burial. I'm going to use my tomb that I've purchased, maybe for my family or whatever it might be, and I'm going to give this guy a proper burial. I'm going to wrap him in linen. I'm going to do all of these sort of things, and I'm going to make sure that he is looked after. I pray if you are a community leader, a politician, we pray for our politicians, we pray for our leaders. But if you're in that category, if you're a business leader here, I pray that when you are faced with these situations, that you will have the courage to take a risk. And sometimes that's going to go against public opinion. But we are faced with decisions all the way through our life that are very, very challenging. We are faced with these incredible decisions whereby, do we go this way and side with public opinion and look okay, or do we stand out like this and take a risk because we know it's right? Whether you be a businessman and it's a right business decision and it costs you thousands of dollars or whatever it might be, take the courage to stand up for what is right. The Bible is silent about Joseph after Jesus' burial. So we don't know for sure what path he took later in life. But what I do know is that the Bible is God-inspired. And what we do know is that a rich man, a man part of the Sanhedrin, a man from the town of Arimathea, took a risk in order that Jesus would be laid to rest. Little did Joseph know, because remember he didn't know the next pages, little did Joseph know that his act of courage in taking a risk would see Jesus buried, where he would then rise again in 3 days. Do you get that? Have you ever thought to yourself, what about if Pilate said no? What about if Joseph just at that time didn't have the courage and he's sort of heading into Pilate and he says, I got something to ask you. Are we meeting this Tuesday night? Take the courage. Stand up for what you believe in. Stand up for what is right. Because your values will show. The third people, or the third group, I call them the bold women. As his body was taken away, the women from Galilee followed and saw the tomb where his body was placed. Then they went home and prepared spices and ointments to anoint his body. But by the time they were finished, the Sabbath had begun, so they rested. Very early on the Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, I think I'd be a little bit more than puzzled. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified. That's probably more of a word I would use. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked them, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? Everyone say alive. He isn't here. He is not here. He is risen from the dead. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples, they're down to 11 at this stage, and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and several other Marys who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. It's in the Bible, verse 11. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. We're a disbelieving group, aren't we, men? With over 19 years in the paramedic world, in places like Sydney in the Middle East, I have been witness to some of the most gruesome things that I would truly wish I had not seen in life. You see, the reason what is in between the text here that we don't sometimes gather is Jesus' body on the cross. Because we don't want to talk about these things because we're stuck with the understanding of what it is. The Passion with the Christ, Passion with the Christ movie, years and years ago, either grabbed people or people didn't like it. Because it was a graphic representation of what Jesus' body would have been like and what happened to him. And you've only got to read through this, where Jesus' body was hung on a cross. And I'm not going to get into the anatomy and physiology of this, because you can actually read through the verses and understand this. But one of the final acts is that a spear was pierced through his side. Not a 2-inch little knife, a spear was pierced through his side. After he had been hung, after nails were put between the two bones here, and I'm sorry if it's a little graphic, but this is what the Word of God says. The nails were put here. And as they shattered the bones, they hit a nervous system here that is one of the most tender nervous systems we have. And it creates paralysis all through your body. And a spear was put in his side. Yet these bold women were prepared to go and do whatever it needed to be to view the body in order to make it look better. Do you understand that? Who knows what they would have been faced with? The sight would have been pretty gruesome. But these women had the courage and the boldness to say, you know what, we're going to go, we're going to prepare our own ointments, our own spices, and we're going to go and make sure that we don't even know what we're going to see here, but the body of Jesus is prepared and honored. They wanted to give dignity to the body of Christ. Because remember, they didn't know the next few verses yet. They would give of their time, money, possessions, in order that the body of Jesus would be dignified. The reason I believe that the Easter story is found in this group of women is that they were bold. And I've had stages in my life where I've been bold. But there's also been stages whereby that boldness slowly starts eating away. You know how you get a bit bold and you feel like you're out there and you're looking and you're all there by yourself and you look around and everyone else is the crowd hanging around and you sort of don't feel so bold anymore? You see, there's one other thing, one other reason why these women were so bold was because custom and social norms would dictate that despite what they saw, despite whatever amazing news they had, nobody was going to believe them. Nobody would listen to them. Thanks, Steve. The reality is if Jesus had not risen from the dead and was still in the tomb when the women came to visit them, guess what? We're out of a job. Don't have to be a pastor. Because the conversation stops at, oh, what's a seemingly terrible event. And that verse from our Sunday school days of, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son in order that whoever shall believe will be saved through him, loses a bit of its meaning. But that didn't happen. That didn't happen. Pilate didn't say no. The women didn't not go. They were bold and they were courageous and they went. The fourth one, and this has been me at times as well, is the scoffers. It's a funny word, isn't it? I won't get to try and say that. The scoffers. In Luke chapter 23... verse 35 to 39. And the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If he is a Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king, save yourself. There was an inscription over him, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who was hanged by his side scoffed as well and said, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and save us. Even though I attended church from the day I was born. Twice a week, 52 times a year, from the day I was born. There was periods in my life which I don't look back on fondly, because there were periods in my life where I scoffed at the name of Jesus. I would turn up on a Sunday with a smile on my face because that's what I had to do. I would put my $2 in the offering because that's what I had to do. And if I didn't, if I kept it in my pocket, I'd get a smack across the leg. I'd head out to Sunday school, and I'd be the kid in the back row disrupting the teachers. And I could recite the verses. I nearly even got through the Bible in memorizing the books of the Bible. Not because I wanted to, because there was a prize at the end of it. And I put on this face for many seasons of my life where I ended up down the what if path. I read this because I had to. I prayed because I had to. But what I'd forgotten was the understanding of why I did this. You see, N.T. Wright wrote a book saying the day the revolution began. And he said this: the message of the resurrection is that this world matters. That the injustices and pains of this present world must now be addressed with the news that healing, justice, and love have won. You see, I don't have a go at the crowds. And you can't judge Joseph or the women because they didn't know the rest of the story, but we do. We've been given the rest of the story. If we had finished with Innocence Message on Friday, this is a completely different game. We walk out of here going, man, Christ was hung on a cross to die for our sins. That's awesome. But what comes with that? I can tell you what comes with that, because it's written in here. Is that we come today to celebrate the fact that He is risen. And with that, our sins have been forgiven. But sometimes we're stuck back on the cross because we can't forgive ourselves. And we're stuck back on Friday as a scoffer. We're stuck back with our sins hanging here with Jesus. And we say, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. But we're somewhere on Saturday and we can't quite get to the empty tomb yet. We can't quite reach it there. N.T. Wright goes on and says this: if Easter means Jesus Christ is only raised in a spiritual sense, then it is only about me and finding a new dimension in my life. But if Jesus Christ is truly risen from the dead, Christianity becomes good news for the whole world. Christianity becomes good news for the whole world, which means our hearts, which warms our hearts, because it isn't just about Friday, it's about Sunday. Easter means in a world where injustices, violence, and degradation are rife, God is not prepared to tolerate such things. You see, because if God was happy with Jesus just dying on the cross, then we would have the what ifs in between. We would have what if, and Pilate might have said, no, don't worry about it, let it rot like Roman customs. The crowd would have just walked away, beat their heads and walked away and said, oh, that was a bad day, wasn't it? The Marys would have gone, you know what, that body's going to be looking pretty bad, I'm not interested in going to do that. But no, God placed in them something that was going to happen, something that was prophetic. And so they went from hanging on the cross here where our sins were hung and Jesus died, they went past a Saturday where they rested on the Sabbath, and they came to a Sunday where Jesus said, arise, because my Son has risen, your sins have been forgiven, you are set free. You are set free. You are set free to tell the good news to others. You are set free to be able to tell your neighbor. You're set free to be able to tell the scoffers and your friends and your family member that do not yet know Christ that Jesus has risen, because we've got the whole story here. Can I ask you to stand to your feet, please? Today, as we celebrate Easter Sunday, we celebrate Jesus who was risen. Jesus who died on the cross for our sins, for the sins that we may have committed, for the sins that he knew we're going to go through. And we stand victorious in the knowledge that Christ has risen. Can I ask you on this Sunday, just for every eye to be closed, just as we're in this time, I'm only going to take 2 minutes on this, but this is so important. There may be some today who are stuck back at the cross. Church for you might be about Easter and Christmas, or when family members are down. And you understand what happened, and you're thankful that Jesus died on the cross for you, and that's great. Your sins have been forgiven, and you saw Jesus take the ultimate sacrifice for you. But you're somewhere stuck in the middle. And between Friday and Sunday, you can't quite get a grasp. You can't quite get a grasp that Jesus dying on the cross wasn't for your next door neighbor, it was for you. That Jesus died on a cross for your sins, and that he rose again in order that we are set free. That we can live a life knowing that Christ is head of all. I'm going to ask, while every eye is closed, if you are still stuck back on Friday and you want to move towards Sunday, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand right now, because I'd love to be able to pray with you after the service. Right where you are, thank you. Anyone else to be able to raise your hand right where you are? If you're still stuck back on the fact that Jesus died on the cross, but you can't move to a Sunday and recognize that Christ has risen and that is good news, that Jesus has risen again and there is good news, put up your hand, because I'd love to be able to pray with you. Fantastic. Is there any others right now that Easter is the day where you can walk out and say, do you know what? I am going to share the good news of Jesus Christ with my family and friends. I am sick of living this life where I'm stuck back at a cross. I'm sick of being stuck in the middle. I'm sick of being a scoffer. I'm sick of having these seasons where I understand what's there and I can recite the Bible, but I'm not living the life that I want to live. If that's you, just raise your hands right in this last bit right now. Thank you. Fantastic. For those who raise their hand, I'd love to be able to pray with you, spend some time praying with you. I'm going to ask the band just to sing now, and we're going to celebrate in these last few minutes. We're going to celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ is risen, and that is good news for the whole world. And we leave on this Easter Sunday morning knowing that Christ is risen for us. If you prayed that prayer, I'd love to be able to pray with you. So if you raise your hands, I'd love to be able to pray with you just as the band sings. I'm going to be standing down the front here. Thanks, guys.